Welcome to the LTC University podcast. My name is Jamie, and I'm here with one of my favorite people, I will say. I've had the pleasure of working directly with this person and shared an office for a time, and it was an adventure, and I deeply respect this person. Today, we have one of the senior vice presidents from SC House Calls, Matt Whitehead. Matt, how you doing?
Good, Jamie. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for those that don't know Matt, I want to describe Matt. And if you're a Ted Lasso fan, Matt is the Roy Kent of SC House Calls. And I say that with the utmost respect because Matt is, he's passionate, he's fiery at times, but he's also one of the most compassionate people that I know, and really does care a ton. When I was a,
I don't even get the reference.
I know. Well, yeah, I know
never
you
seen
don't.
The show.
but when you do, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, that's me. he's probably the best character on the show. He's probably people's favorite character. But I know when I was a hospice marketer, you were in charge of taking, you were kind of our go-to person, and one of the things that would happen often, we would have somebody who was a patient that couldn't pay. They didn't have the hospice benefit. They couldn't pay. It didn't happen all the time. But one thing's for sure, anytime I called you, Matt, you were like, take care of them. I don't care. Take care of them. I don't care. Every single time. And so even though you're a fiery
guy. To be
guy,
clear.
Yeah.
I had the freedom.
Yes.
Because Scott will not turn down helping somebody if they really need the help.
Exactly.
To be able to say yes to that. So yeah. That's really where that comes from more than anything. Now, you don't want to get taken advantage of either, which is a whole nother podcast.
Sure.
We could probably do.
Absolutely.
But, when it's right to help the patient and help the family, I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you got to help people.
But that's also you too. That's in your nature and your personality. But today we're going to talk about something that I think you're really good at. And that's leading by example. I think, there's a lot of leaders that can tell you what you should do. They can say it, they can preach it, they can speak it. But I think one of your leadership traits, Matt, is you're good at showing people what to do. And you do that by example. And that's
because I've probably done the job before.
Exactly.
Which a lot of leaders haven't.
Yeah.
A lot of them just pop up.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't gone through all the different jobs, or mm-hmm. even if they haven't gone through the job, taken the time to learn what the job entails, what the mm-hmm. struggles are every day. And I mean, you know, understanding what those employees' burdens are every day. And
yeah.
I mean, that's really what the name of the game is. And, you know, trying to, remove their problems and their excuses out of the way mm-hmm. so that they can do their job.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what their job is, you don't know how to do that for them. So
right. Yeah, absolutely.
That was always a step of, I mean, you have to know what your people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes just go do it.
Give people a background for those that don't know you, or maybe are new to you. Give people a background, kind of what you've done in healthcare and, because you've done a lot.
I've definitely been blessed for opportunity. There's no doubt about that. I spent the first part of my career really just, kind of doing support stuff, a lot of business office. I did like nursing home admissions. But with the degree I had as an undergraduate, I was able to get my assisted living license after only been out of school for 6 months.
Wow.
Where some people have to wait a year, some people have to wait 2 years, only had to wait 6 months. So I pretty much immediately went and got my assisted living license. And lo and behold, there was a facility that opened. So I was able to kind of slide right in there mm-hmm. down in Garden City, down in the Grand Strand.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of did assisted living for a little while until one morning and... Or actually, excuse me, one evening, I get a text from our now CEO, Matt Staub, who was our regional president for the Grand Strand and that part of the world back then. And he texts me, he's like, hey, let's go to breakfast in the morning. And I'm like, all right, that's weird, but
that's always cool. That's always a sign.
let's go to breakfast in the morning. And he We went to Bojangles on 501, right in the middle of Conway, right there. If you're driving to the beach, you know what Bojangles I'm talking about. We sit down, we get our food, and he takes a bite of his, and I haven't done anything. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And he's like, well, we're going to move the current administrator of the nursing home to Columbia. So in about a month, we're going to move you over to the nursing home. And just starts eating his biscuit.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, hold on. Wow. So then I got the opportunity to run a nursing home. That nursing home actually was the very first nursing home in the state of South Carolina to do the quality. The DHEC basically changed their the way that they survey facilities from like basically only reviewing charts to also basically adding in some like resident interviews and stuff in there. So they brought three teams of surveyors to that building that I had been in for about maybe 6 months, and they did their training in that building. So that was quite the learning, quite the learning experience.
Right.
And then I was fortunate enough to be able to be Agape Hospice's executive director for a couple of years, which is where me and you really started our work relationship and friendship. And now I'm in SC House Calls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's kind of been the abbreviated path.
Yeah. Give people an idea what you do currently for SC House Calls.
Well, let's see. Today is Wednesday, I think. So today I'm the fleet manager because we got a shipment of Teslas in. So that seems to be taking a lot of my time.
Yeah.
I do help manage our fleet. And then also, too, we have SC Home RX, which is our pharmacy that will basically mail your medications to your home. And so we're doing a lot of cool stuff with the pharmacy. The pharmacy is actually an interesting world. They got a lot of cool technology in pharmacy that like primary care doesn't necessarily have. Like pharmacy's always got like a new tool or, you know, a new gadget or a new robot or pharmacy is an interesting world. And then for SC House Calls, really just operational things.
Sure.
Which anybody who does operations can probably fill apart what that means, but
it means everything.
Anything that could be anything. Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. Yeah. So kind of let's just jump into this topic of, you know, leading by example. How important is that to you, Matt? You know, as you've been on your journey, you know, you've been in the assisted living where you're the administrator, you're the HR department, you're the nurse.
I actually have a story for you. If I can tell you a story.
Please do.
So if we can go back to the time we were in before with the nursing homes, you know, the first thing that I realized, the biggest difference between the assisted living and the nursing home were, like in the assisted living, the administrator is everything. Like you have to be the med tech, you have to be the business office manager, you have to be the marketer, you have to be the cook, you have to be the caregiver, you know, you have to be whatever you have to be. But in a nursing home, like I'm just the administrator.
Right.
Because all these other people, you know, I'm definitely not a physical therapist. I'm definitely not a nurse.
Right.
I'm definitely not the medical director, and nor can I fill those positions. So like understanding that, whenever I was in assisted living, that was very easy for me because my mentality is just, well, if you can't do it, I can do it. I can send you home today.
Yeah.
Cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't like how, you know, if I don't like your attitude today, I know how to go in there and make lunch myself. and that's okay that you know how to do that. But the real thing is your team knows you know how to do that.
Right.
Because it's a different psyche with them. And so the story I was going to tell you, so I did my internship. Mm-hmm. And part of our internship that we did here was they wanted us to get our CNA certification. So it would be to walk out of there being able to be a certified nursing assistant. So I held on to that. And so, you know, it served me a little bit of good in the assisted living, but where it really served me good was in the nursing home because I really couldn't, you know, like I said, I'm not a dietitian.
Right.
You know, I have a registered dietitian doing meals there. I can't step into that person's role. But the role I could step into was that role.
Yeah.
And so I'd go out on the floor and work with them. And they'd see me out there working.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you, there has never been a group of people that I have been more motivated for or by than those CNAs that were on the floor in that nursing home in Conway.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they don't expect that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I was 25 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They see me come like I remember a family member turned the corner one day and they were like, "Hey, I'm here to speak to the administrator." And I'm like, "That's me." And they're like, "No, like really, like I'm here to talk to the administrator." I'm like, "Hey, yeah, that's me."
And they're like, you have gloves on right now.
Looking back at you. Right. So imagine your staff looking back at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be like, this kid don't got no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I was able to go and show them that, remember that survey I was telling you about? We got zero tags in that. Well, actually, I lied. We got one tag in that survey, but
right. You're
always going to get one tag. And it was stupid and at the very end. Yeah. But, I think that team was able to rally around that survey, and that was really kind of the starting point because, mm-hmm. you know, they lost an administrator that they loved. I mean, they loved this administrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For my little 25-year-old butt to come walking in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean, there had to be something for us to rally around. And when they saw me go out on that floor and start changing diapers and trying to help where I could and cover in shifts, or like, you know, me and the DON would do our four, you know, to 6 a.m. Well, hell, it ended up being called a wake-up call, but where we just walked through the building. Mm-hmm. And if we saw people doing things that were inappropriate, they were gone. And me or her would finish out their shift for them.
Right.
And so the next shift would get there the next morning, and it'd be one of the two of us in there working.
Hmm.
Like, the psyche for your team when they see that is... it really is changing, but,
I don't know. I think really, you know, we're talking about, you know, leading by example, but really what it boils down to, it's servant leadership. Now, as a 25 year old, you know, they typically have a little bit of an ego. They come in, you know, I've been the administrator at this assisted living. I've been in charge. I'm the go-to person. Then you step into this situation, you know, and then these people have a administrator that they love, that they care. They love to work for.
Yeah. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
There's nothing more humbling than that. Mm,
yeah. Right.
I mean, truly. Yeah. And if that doesn't humble you, then this whole you can just stop listening to this podcast right now because it doesn't matter. You're not going to humble yourself enough to be an effective leader anyways.
Yeah. How does humility tie into that? You know,
humility is everything. Mm. That is what it is.
Yeah.
Because anybody can sit behind their dual monitors and send emails and mm-hmm. tell people, you know, bark. I mean, anybody can do that. That's not a hard job.
Right. Yeah.
But to do it correctly and lead your team and make sure your team knows what the expectations are and are taking care of people that the government is paying you to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you can't be humble, you can't do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, that's a conversation I have a lot with like younger leaders that I work with.
Sure.
Is everybody comes in and wants to save the world. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Trust me.
Right.
I get it. I wanted to save the world.
Right.
And you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not reality. You're mm-hmm. not going to fix every problem. But what you can do is try to make sure that your team understands what the problems are, mm-hmm. which you have to understand that.
Right.
And that you have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that your team can see how the plan's being executed. And, you know, once again, you can't do any of that if you don't know what your people are doing. You just can't.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And
so back to your point, humility, honestly, if you didn't say another word this entire time, being a good leader comes down to being as humble as you possibly can. And some people are going to listen to this and know me and they're going to laugh. They're going to be like, man, you're not humble.
I
promise you.
I would definitely disagree with that.
I have been humbled more than I would ever like to admit.
Yeah. Well,
I get humbled on a daily basis. Yeah. I promise you that.
But for me, you know, as a leader, as a, you know, person, the people that I want to work with are not arrogant people. And there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence.
Well, you have to have confidence.
You do. You have to.
That's the only
way you're
going to build trust.
Absolutely. But there's a difference between arrogance and confidence, and there's a big difference. you know, and confidence is being good at your job, you know, going out of the way, you know, researching, whatever makes you good at your job, that's confidence. But when you tie that with humility and not afraid to say, hey, I dropped the ball here. Hey, I'm going to do something that a lot of people wouldn't do. I'm going to change that diaper, which I can't even imagine. That's why I never went in the medical field. Like clinically, I'm like, no, I can't do that.
Man, we could tell you some story. I mean, just about honestly, the training part probably had the better stories than anything in the facility, yeah. But man, it was, you know, talk about humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But those are the people that I'm ready to go to battle with. That's the person I will work extra hard for, because I know they're going to do the same thing, and we're going to do it arm in arm, because that's the person I want to follow. Absolutely. Let me ask you this question, Matt. How does leading by example, being a servant leader, keep you from being a micromanager? Because we know micromanagement can be that's not the person I want to follow that's gonna micromanage.
Yeah.
That's
a good question. I mean, it really is a good question, because once again, micromanaging's easier to do.
Yeah,
because you so what I'm sitting here thinking right now is I'm trying to unpack this in my head of all the different things people could be doing that could be listening to this.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different examples of that and just, I mean, everything that yeah. we do. And God, Jamie, I hate to keep going back to humility. Mm-hmm. I really do.
No, I think it's the key. I mean, I think it's huge.
But micromanaging, to me, goes back to one of two things. You either think you can do it better, or you don't know what to do to make it better.
Mm. Yeah. I think it shows a lack of trust.
And so your only recourse, it does, which is... Now you're pulling at the fabric of our entire conversation, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Because if you're micromanaging, you're not trusting. If you're not trusting, you're not building a good team, or you're not building good culture within your team. If you're not building good culture within your team, none of this conversation matters. Mm-hmm. If you're not humble, none of this conversation matters.
Yeah.
So by micromanaging, you're automatically pulling at the fabric of all that instantly. So then the question is, why are you micromanaging? Okay, so do you not know what this person needs to do every day? You don't have a plan, so your plan is just to take it minute by minute with them? I see people do that all the time.
Yeah.
Or do you think you have a plan, you're just going to, you know, go through with that plan to hell with everything else, which I also see happen a lot. But there's a happy place somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we're kind of, because you do have to trust your team, but you also have to verify that you can trust your team. Like, you know, you also don't just want to blindly, have faith in everybody, because people haven't proven that they're able to handle that kind of faith.
Well, I think the flip side of being a micromanager is you also, at the same time, have to hold people accountable. And that's
another magic word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because if there's no accountability, there's no trust.
Yeah, 100%.
Anybody thinks they can do whatever they want to, then that's what they're going to do. And then I don't know what you're doing, because you're doing whatever you want to do. You don't know what I'm doing, because I'm doing whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
So all these things pull at the fabric of your team all day. Just little stupid things like that.
Yeah.
That are pulling at big things like trust or humility, and you don't even see it happening necessarily. It's all happening around you while you're worried about, you know, is your payroll right? You know, or, you know, is my provider schedule full today? And, you know, all around you, there's all these little things that are just pulling, all these negative things.
Yeah. Right.
And micromanaging is a symptom of that, of that pulling of the fabric of that team.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In my opinion, at least. Yeah. From what I've seen.
100%. Yeah. You know, so let me ask you this, because you know, when you've hired a lot of people, you've done thousands of interviews with people.
Goodness gracious, yeah. Have I hired a lot of freaking people, especially at FC House Calls.
Yeah. You know, so when you're hiring people, you know, and you're looking for them, what are you looking for? What are you really looking for in them? You know, when you're hiring to be able to fill that position, but not be a micromanager, but holding people accountable, what are you looking for?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't look for anything in interviews anymore, if I'm being completely honest with you, because people, that's their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter what. They got the answers already. So really, the interview for me, and this is going to sound terrible, we're just talking about humility, it's more for me than it is for them. Mm. I don't really care. If you've got the credentials and you want to come get a job, I'm probably going to hire you. Mm. But I take a different approach to interviews. Mm. I tell them the bad stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I lay it on them. I tell them, I say, look, this is what your biggest problem is going to be. Every single day, this is what you're going to get. You're going to have people calling you, wanting you to do this. You're gonna have you? I mean, I tell them.
Yeah.
And the reaction I get back from that usually tells me all I need to know.
Right.
Because then they start finding little things to complain about. Oh, well, I don't know if I can have people add people to my schedule. And I really got to get my kid from daycare by 5. Well, you're working a 7-on-7 off 12-hour shift from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. What you right. talking about? You got to be done at 5 every day. You know what I'm saying? So you can start to peel back a little bit of who they are by kind of put a little adversity back on them.
Yeah.
But then on the other end too, you have the people who go, oh, that's no problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, that don't bother me. Yeah. Right. Until Vicky calls you and puts that next patient on your schedule.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's going to be a problem. So like, once again, there's a happy medium there, but
yeah.
Once again, if you're a nurse practitioner with a license and McKenzie puts her thumb up and says, hey, this person's good to go, I mean, you're probably going to get hired because I don't know if you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. And the thing about what we do is there's really no way to have experience.
Yeah.
So pretty much everybody's starting brand new. Nobody knows. So then to me, it all comes back to mentality, mm-hmm. which is why I approach the interview the way I approach the interview.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're going to get the job. I mean, unless, you know, you just want too much money or, you know, you walk in here, you know, and, you know, look like you, I don't know, been doing drugs for a week or something. I don't know. I mean, you're probably going to get the job, honestly, because we need people to take care of people. We have a lot of patients.
Yeah.
And right. honestly, we have a really good program and we have a really good like bonus structure and really good benefits for people. Like, I mean, there's no reason somebody shouldn't want to come work here.
Right.
And there's really no reason, as long as everything checks out, we shouldn't hire somebody who applies to come work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So then at the end of the day, I need to know what kind of person you are. And you're not going to tell me that sitting in this interview.
Right. Yeah.
So I got to go get that.
Exactly. It's very hard to do in that time. Like you said, you're getting that person's best, you know, but I love what you said.
I mean, it's their best. I hope it's their best.
I love that.
It better be their best.
Yeah. I love that you kind of flip it though, and you reverse it and kind of paint that picture of kind of worst case scenario to really see how they're going
to
react.
I literally say to them, I'm going to tell you what your worst day looking at SC or GA House Calls or SC Home RX or whatever is going to look like.
Right. Yeah.
This is what your worst day is going to look like.
Yeah.
If this sounds like something you're good with, you can thrive here. You got student loans. Tell me how much you got. I tell you how to pay them off in 12 months. I tell you exactly how many patients to see every day. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we have the tools to be able to show them that.
Right. Absolutely.
If the mentality is, I'm going to go take care of people.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're going to do that, you're going to be perfectly fine here.
Yeah.
Right. And also understanding too, we're a little crazy sometimes. We will change on you in a second.
Yeah.
But there's also usually a reason why we're doing that. So so another thing that I tell people a lot of times too is like, you have to keep up with the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to know what's changing around you.
Right.
Which is another important thing for the team to know. But yeah.
Absolutely. Now that's great. Man, Matt, you're giving some great nuggets here. I think that people are going to learn from. Let's close with this. You know, what would you say to a young leader? Somebody who's maybe getting into healthcare, getting into or any industry, you know, what would you say to that young leader that, or old leader that maybe they've been struggling and they don't know why they're struggling, but, what would you tell them about leading by example? What would you tell them about, as a final word here, leading with humility and all those things? What would you say as your final word?
Well, it depends on if I'm talking to a new person or an older person. If I'm talking to a new person, I'm going to tell them, accept every challenge. Run toward it. Right. Don't ever turn anything down. Somebody's got a job, you raise your hand first and you take that job. Mm-hmm. If somebody's got something that they, I mean, because you have to separate yourself, because everybody's got a 4-year college degree. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got that now. That doesn't set you apart. What sets you apart is how you work.
Yeah.
And the only way people see how you work is if you work and you show them.
Yeah.
So if your boss invites you to breakfast at Bojangles in Conway and says, "Hey, you're going to go run a nursing home," you say, "Well, I don't really know a lot about this, but I got a month to learn, so let's go, I guess."
Yeah, Matt. You know,
and that's how,
jumping in there real quick here, because I think this is something that people struggle with. You know.
Yeah, they do. They're scared.
Were you afraid? That was my question. Were you afraid?
I was terrified.
Yeah.
I have never been more terrified to do anything than the first day I sat behind that desk. And the first, Jane, we can do a whole podcast on that, on that time. But literally my first week in there, we had the very first ethics case ever for like, basically, what should we do for a patient?
Yeah.
In our previous company's iteration, it was the first one we'd ever had. I'd been there for a week.
Yeah.
And they brought me this problem where both answers were wrong.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean, petrified is probably the right word, but you know what else it did? It also humbled me to go back to that.
Yeah. Right.
And I never forget that. And like, you know what else humbles you too is when, you know, bless her soul, Beth Clark, who was our receptionist. You know, when DHEC walked in the building, we had our code words. Everybody knew the code words. And man, when you heard that come across that walkie-talkie, your heart dropped completely out of your body.
Right.
Because that's all it's going to be about for the next 5 to 6 days. That's it. 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 16. That's it. That's your life for the next week.
Right.
And so if you're not ready for that, yeah, that's terrifying. Mm. Yeah.
How do you push through, our final point here, how do you push through the fear?
You just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you just make sure that you know the rules that you can operate inside of and do the best you can to take as good a care of people as you can inside of those rules.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
Even though, can I say one other thing too?
Sure.
If I'm talking to an older leader,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I do think those are, you know, one thing Becky talks about all the time are these poor assisted living administrators. And she's just like, y'all, they're so tired. Mm-hmm. They're tired. And that's what I would tell them. Like, we see you. We know you're tired. Mm-hmm. You have every right in the world to be tired.
Yeah.
But we also need you, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are not a lot of, well, I can't say that. I was going to say there's not a lot of young healthcare leaders, but there are, but they don't have the same experience. And the people with the experience are burned out. COVID, you know, I mean, once again, to go back to the buildings, you know, their building gets sold every quarter, you know, having to, you know, tell the families like, no, we're still good. We have a different owner, but we like, man, that's exhausting. That is so taxing. I've had that conversation with, you know, 100 family members, you know, 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And so like, just to tell the older leaders, like, you still got it.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. You're tired. You have every right in the world to be tired, but you're still needed. So please don't go to real estate or something because you really are needed. And Jamie, you know, the crazy part is, I mean, you know, I was in college when they passed the Affordable Care Act. Right. So, we learned about that entire bill. And one of the big things in that bill were the aging baby boomers. And we're getting to the point where like a quarter of our population is going to be over 65.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in school, that was seen as a, you know, a possible good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as we're closer to that actually becoming a reality, we got to have people who are capable of organizing people to take care of all of these people.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I, that's why we need the older leaders to rejuvenate and to, you know, whatever they need to do to get back in it.
Right.
Because those are the people that are going to have to lead that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think passing that down to those younger leaders too is key. And doing
that's how the younger leaders are going to learn. I didn't learn all this on my own. You know, I had, you know, Becky and Matt Staub and, you know, Pamela. I mean, there were so many people that helped me. I by no means ever, I hardly ever did it on my own.
Yeah.
I always had somebody over my shoulder to help, or, you know, even if they weren't over my shoulder, or, you know, a phone call or a text message away, like, hey, I don't understand how this correlates, or, hey, how should this, you know, how should this go? How, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Now, once again, back to your larger point here. Now, I may not do that in front of my team.
Right.
I may go into the room and call the compliance person and be like, hey, look, I don't know what to do with this. Can you tell me? And I'm going to walk back in that room with my team and be like, hey, guys, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, because they definitely need to see confidence and strength.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Especially in a situation like that.
Yeah. And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Matt, this has been great. I think there's a lot of things to learn from
appreciate
this.
You having me.
And, yeah, and thanks for all you do. You give a lot. You work hard. And it's respected. And, I've always enjoyed working with you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Do another one soon.
Absolutely.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network, The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and The Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.